Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Those two words, me too. And me. The point of the whole message last week is we've all gone through struggles in our lives. And the biggest lie is that you're the only one going through what you're going through. And we've all dealt with it. We've all dealt with the thought, or we've all dealt with the weakness. And we all shouted, me too. Same struggle, it was called. I want to continue on with that word, same. John chapter 15, if you want to turn there. John chapter 15 and verse 1. Already kind of woven this into the service today with the offering and everything. But John chapter 15 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Anybody out there have a garden at home? My wife is a gardener. Every year we borrow the neighbor's rototiller. Basically because we're too cheap to buy one, right? So they got one. You only use it couple hours, right? And the neighbor's like, whatever, just come get it, you know? So we till up that garden and we pull out the weeds and we get it ready to plant tomatoes. Anybody like tomatoes? You head down to the farmer's market, you pick up your tomatoes and all kinds, and by September, the trombies are swimming in tomatoes. And then we got to buy like a case of Prilosec because of the acid, because we are eating a lot of tomatoes. But after you eat vine-ripe, your own tomatoes, the ones in the grocery store are just red balls of nothing. It's like, really? They call this a tomato. Jesus said, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. And when you plant something, especially when you plant something from seed, it takes germination time, what, 12 to 15 days before something comes up. But that first week, you're going out there looking, anything up yet? Anything up yet? And you're hoping that the slugs didn't get them, you know, or something, you know, because there's a lot of slugs here. If you don't put slug bait out, forget it. So you look in, and you're trying to exhibit patience, but all of a sudden you see that little green thing popping through, and you're thinking, is that a weed or is that the plant, right? So don't ever send the kids out to weed, because they'll just pull out all the plants along with the weeds. I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, or the King James says, abide in me. Also, as I also remain or abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain or abide in me. It's one of our goals as Christians to bear fruit. And in order to bear fruit, we have to remain as fruitful people in him. And so I want to talk about that. You know, one of the things about our culture is this. Our culture is so known these days for change. Everything changes so quickly. Music changes. Cell phones. I mean, after 6 months, your cell phone is obsolete. You know, it's wanting to update itself. And I don't know about you, but I hate phone updates because it changes the way the buttons look and I have to relearn the whole thing over again. And I just had lost my cell phone, and you know, these days, these cell phones cost, you know, $500-$600, and I think I didn't have insurance on it. What am I going to do? And so I found my old phone. I lost my Galaxy S5, and I found my old Droid Razor, and I had it reactivated. It's like going back to the dark ages. It's only 2 years old, but I'm thinking, this thing is so slow. It takes the worst pictures. you know, worst video. And so you get used to taking video, you get used to taking pictures. And as a culture, we become so obsessed with change. We're obsessed with the new. So this morning I want to talk about same or sameness. Because I think same is an important word that we need to capture and grab in our lives. But there's a lot of same or sameness things that are really goofy. Like this is what I call stupid sameness. You guys know what stupid sameness is? That's it. That's when you touch the stove and you didn't learn the first time and you touch the stove again. That's stupid sameness. You guys out there? We keep repeating the same habits over and over again that we learned from our parents, you know, pledging that we would never do what they did or we'd never say what they say, but we keep doing it. You know, we're like, oh, my mom said that. That's called stupid sameness. There's the sameness called stagnant sameness. Stagnant sameness, you're stuck in something and you're too tired or you're too lazy to get out of it. There's the sameness called stubborn sameness. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about, okay? Teenagers, stubborn sameness. Or there's some people that are so stuck in their ways. Well, it's just the way I am. I'm just being me. It's my lot in life. And they're just so stubborn. Anybody got any relatives that are stubborn? Because we're not, right? Anybody have a spouse that's stubborn? Don't you raise your hand in the front row. How about scared sameness? We keep things the same because of fear. We don't want to step out. We don't want to take any risk. We just want to keep it the same. But did you ever know that if you don't change, it's going to change anyway? So you might as well control the change instead of just allowing the change to overtake you. And then at the end, you think to yourself, wish I would have done something about that. Well, you had the chance, but you missed it. Right? Scared sameness. Now, this word same, it gets a really bad rap. Yet there's power in same. There's power in same. You know, you can spend decades in life always looking for the new and always looking for the different. And I know we've got to upgrade. And, you know, you don't want to drive the same car all the time for years. And you know, if you're into leases, you get a new one every couple years. And if you can afford it, all the power to you, you know. As far as we're concerned, we just beat cars to death until they die, hoping they don't die 3 hours from here or something like that. That's why I got the AAA 100-mile towing package, you know. If you got old cars, you need that. But, man, if you can afford a new car, all the power to you. I used to have a neighbor. They got, like, a new car every year, you know. Every year they go trade it in. I don't think they ever, they thought to themselves, well, if I'm going to have a payment on a car, I might as well just drive what I want to drive. I'm like, well, all the power to it. If you can afford it, fine. I can't. I take pleasure in driving cars that are paid off. Can anybody say amen? I love pulling up to that new car. I know you got a $600 payment. I got nothing. And I'm, you know, yeah, mine's a minivan and yours is a Mercedes coupe, but you know what? Oh, it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Minivans rock. You can put more in it than even SUVs. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You know, in life, though, as far as our own lives, you can't really build anything unless you stay put. Unless you capture this word same. I could never get it. I grew up in a church where they moved the pastors around. The leadership did all the time. I never got that. I couldn't understand why after a couple years they'd move the assistant pastor to another church. And we just got to know that assistant pastor. And they just had gotten the youth group together. And then they would move that pastor to another church. And us as teenagers, we were devastated. We're like, well, why? And there was times we'd actually go visit him in his other church, you know, just because we missed him. But it really did a number on us stability-wise, all the moving around of pastors. And that's why, you know, in our kinds of churches, we believe in starting a church and we believe in staying in a church. You guys, we've been here for 13 years. That's a long time for a pastor. The average youth pastor is only in one place for 9 months. You guys know that? 9 months. You know, that's the average youth pastor. You don't even get started in 9 months. I had great advice from my pastor that we served in for 8 years up in Tacoma. He said, after we did 5 years of the of children's ministry, he wanted us to take over the youth ministry. And he sat next to me, and you know, it wasn't easy. You know, no ministry is easy. But he said to me, he said, Bob, you know, it takes 3 to 5 years to build any good ministry. I was like, huh. And I thought, that completely just comforted me. That whole performance thing just gets off of you. And you're like, it's about building ministry. Amen? It's about building life. Some people think that if they move physically, like from this town to that town, they'll change their life. You ever notice that? The whole escape reality. You know, we all go on vacation to really nice places. You know, if you go to Bend, you know, Bend is a beautiful town, and you just want to move there. Or, you know, my town that I would love to move to is Whistler. I love to live in Whistler, although I don't know if I can handle the Canadians. But you know, but you know what? You go there, and it's like this dream world. And I was like, only if I could live there. And then you realize escaping reality has set in, you know. And you come back, and you think, nah. The problem with that is when you go on vacation, you just want to move there. You love the town. You love the restaurants. And you think it's utopia, and this is where you want to live. But when you move there, guess what? It becomes the same old town, same old streets again, same old people. All the vacationers are gone, and you're left with bills, and you got to work, and can't ski all day. You got to do something, and can't ride your bike, mountain bike all day. You got to do something, and it just becomes a place of work. So I want to encourage you to treat Gresham like it's your vacation town. You know what I mean? We got a great downtown over here. You know, go on a date. Go down there with some friends. Take your wife down there. Go eat at the restaurant. It's like a vacation town. You know, treat the place where you're living like it's the place that you want to be. And stop thinking to yourself, I'm just going to move somewhere else. Because most of the time, when people move around all the time, they're just escaping their issues. The thing is, you take your issues with you. Unless you deal with your internal issues, you're going to take them with you, and your life will not change. You guys out there? And I don't know about you, but as a father, I want my kids to know this, no matter what, that I was faithful. Are you out there? That I was faithful to the same woman. That I was faithful as a pastor to do what God asked me to do. 13 years here and 26 years in ministry. That I don't want to be the father that just gets up and leaves for another woman. Because I know it would utterly destroy my kids' lives. Got awful quiet now. Just because I got offended or I got hurt and I couldn't deal with it. I want to let you know this morning, there's power in stability. There's power in same. Some Christians will have little to hand to their children. And you'll wonder why they never got their families planted in one church. Because all their kids remember is the critical review of the multiple churches you kind of attended here and there while they grew up. So true. And you wonder why as your kids grow up that they don't want to go to a church. Because all they heard was the negative. Like I said to my daughter and to Kayla, my goal for you, my example as a pastor of same and stability, my actions will say more than my words to them ever leaving here and finding a church where they end up building their lives. Amen? More than my words will ever. My actions as a parent will do the same. They will remember the family. They'll remember the hard times, they'll remember the yelling and the arguing, but they will remember that even though at times it was difficult, my parents didn't give up. Amen? Here's one point that I want to bring out, and we'll continue it on next week. Here's one thing I want to say this. As I was thinking about it, and Sibylla and I were discussing it last night, this church, East Hill Church, the Baptist church over here, church in Africa, our Jim Rogan's church in Germany, none of these churches would exist in the world if it wasn't for faithful, same people. They wouldn't exist. The church on earth, a living church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would not exist if it wasn't for same. Faithful people serving and giving, building their lives, serving and giving. Here's the point I want to make this morning. If you resist the monotonous, you'll miss out on the miraculous. If you resist the monotonous, you'll miss out on the miraculous. We have too many Christians going from this church to that church looking for miracles. We believe in miracles. But they're hopping from here to there looking for the next best thing and the next guest speaker, the next weird thing going on. And they never get planted in the house of the Lord. And it's when you're planted in the house of the Lord, the Bible says that's when you'll flourish in the courts of our God. If you want to find the flow, you got to think of me, Jesus, as the vine. Jesus said, you're the branch. If you stay connected to me, you will bear fruit. If you stay. I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. Not I am the vine, and you are the genie. Everybody's always looking for God like a genie. Kind of rub the bottle, okay? They get in these emergency modes. Oh, my gosh, I just got diagnosed with cancer. All of a sudden, church becomes important. Fellowship becomes important. The word worship becomes important. All the things that they were taught, all of a sudden, they run there trying to use emergency faith. Whereas if they were same, if they were consistent, if they had hid the word of God in their heart, if their faith was built up. See, we need to build our faith up in certain subjects, so not in the midst of the emergency, we need to build it up for the emergency. Amen? That's what we need to do. We need to put God's word in us. We've got to be filled with God's word. We've got to be faithful and consistent to do that. Not religiously, but we're coming here. We come to church because we're hungry for God. We are desperate for God. Amen? I want more of God. I want more of his spirit. I want more of his word. Are you out there this morning? Come on. I want to know God. I want God to speak to me this morning. I want to know about my future. I want him to tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. I want him to reveal to me what I need to know for next week. I want him to help me to become a better parent, become a better single college student. I want him to help me become a better student in my high school, to be the light of the world. Hallelujah. But too many times, some Christians, they just want a little bit of good luck from God flowing in their lives. See, the disciples, they thought Jesus was coming to wipe out the bad guys. At the end, he was walking through the garden, and you see these grapes, and you see these vines in the garden. And Jesus teaches and said, this is the way God will grow us in his will and his purpose in your life. Well, I went to that church, and it didn't work. Tried to, but it didn't work. Well, what happened is because you didn't work it. Because the word is here. Amen? The word is being preached. And the Bible says it's not the hearer that's blessed. It's the doer that's blessed. It's the doer that's blessed. Gardening, it's like a seed. You got to treat it like a garden, and you got to start embracing the process. It's my wife's garden, but she doesn't know it. I go out there, I look at it every day, actually. Going out and look, seeing if she's doing her job weeding. go back and tell us, hey, garden needs to be weeded, honey, you know? Because that eventually I'm going to be able to eat the fruit of that, right? And if it gets, if there's too many weeds, then we kind of finagle our kids and pay them a little bit, okay? When they were younger, it was like 10 cents a weed. You guys go out and pull some weeds, 10 cents a weeds. Man, they'd go out there and take up big weeds and break it up into 10 pieces, you know? That's the way to do it. But we have to embrace the process. See, growing in Christ is a process. Thank God for the instantaneous. Thank God for the miraculous. We love the miraculous. The miraculous shows us that God's alive. He proves to us that he's alive. And he still heals and still sets free. Amen? But real Christianity and growth inside of us is a process that we have to embrace. Amen? As far as us, when we were a family, we decided that whether we were pastors or not, and I thank my parents for this. You know, we grew up Catholics, but Sunday was church. You know, you get some Catholics saved, you get some good church people. You hear what I'm talking about? Because we went to church, and this is what you do. You go to church on Sunday morning. I don't care. We'll go to the lake later, but we're getting up and we're going to church. Amen? And that's what we did. We went to church, and church became our place where everything happened. Our social life, our youth group, everything happened with the people at church. Our friends were at church. My friends were at church. That's what I think church should be. I think there's too many pseudo organizations out there pretending to be church and pretending to, they take up all your time and they'll take up all your money. Are you guys out there? I'm all for sports. Believe me, our daughter just was in club volleyball. But what gets me is this. I'll go to a game on Saturday and I'll sit there all day long, 12 hours. And people will complain about coming an hour and a half to church, right? All day long. And then it costs me, you know, it costs you about $1,500 to $2,000 to play volleyball when it's all said and done. And people will complain about giving $100 in church. Come on, are you out there? I believe church should be the center of life. I believe church should be the center of our families. I believe it's the place that we should come. We hang out with people. We love on people. We encourage people. And we build community together. You change the world by being a team. You change the world by being an army. You change the world by being a force. One puts 1,000 to flight, but two put 10,000 to flight. Two is better than one. God intended for the church to be a team. Amen? Get involved. Take the next step. Come to the next step class. Hallelujah. The question is, how much do you want to grow this summer? We see people in a church and we look at other families, look at young people in the church, and we look at them and we think to ourselves, they're just blessed. They must be lucky. They must have been born with a trust fund. That was a lucky catch. You guys, you don't get blessed by a lifetime of laziness. You can't. Can't get blessed by God. When you see someone's life that is filled with joy and peace and blessing, they grew that in the garden of their heart. They allowed themselves to go through the process. Lord, I'm going, when the church doors open, I'm coming. Lord, I want as much word as possible in my life. I need the input. I need your anointing. I need your power. I need your blessing. Amen? Joshua, for example, you know, Joshua was given a command by God that made no sense. He spent 40 years wandering in the desert. And he comes into the promised land, and his first big challenge is the city of Jericho. These huge walls, the first city in the promised land. It was the biggest challenge. It was the key to everything in the land of Canaan. And how many know getting started a lot of times is the hardest part? Anybody know that? Here's Joshua. He's taking over the leadership. Getting started can be the hardest part. Finding a new job and walking into a new job can be the hardest part. Going to the gym for the first time can be the hardest part. Like walking through those doors, it's like a crowbar coming through the glass doors. Like, you walk in the gym. Guess what? Nobody's looking at you. Nobody cares you're there, right? Only you do. You think everybody's looking at you. Nobody cares, right? But getting in there, and then you start working out, and you're thinking, wow, why didn't I do this before? You know, I love the gym we go to because on the wall it says no judgments. I mean, that just does a lot for me. And I love it. I love to see all ages, all different sizes in there working out. It's like, right on, man. Go for it. I'm glad you're here. Go for it. But getting started is the hardest part. It's the same way with going to church on a regular basis. Getting started is the hardest part. Well, for one thing, the devil does not want you here. He doesn't want consistency. He doesn't want you giving faithfully because he knows God's word is going to work. Yeah. He doesn't want the word of God to be given to you on a regular basis because he knows it's building you up. And you're thinking about, man, this summer I'm going to get everything that I can get. I am going to grow in God this summer. I'm going to grow leaps and bounds. I am going to learn how to pray. I'm going to worship God. Hallelujah. I'm going to see things happen in my family in June, July, and August. It's going to be the best summer ever. Best summer ever. Apart from taking a vacation here or there, it's going to be the best summer ever. I congratulate you because you're here on a beautiful weekend. 90 degrees. You are here in church, whether you have AC or not. You're here. Hallelujah. But you think about Joshua, you know, God tells him to do something that doesn't make sense, to march around the walls for 6 days and don't stop. On the seventh day, I want you to go around seven times. Now, it's not the revelation, but it's the response that determines the blessing. God told Joshua to do something. He could have said, you are out of your flipping mind, God. You have lost it. You want me to do what? Look in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 14. It says, so on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp, and they did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. They marched around every day doing the same thing. And the Israelites were complaining, I'm sure. You want us to do what, Joshua? Well, this is what God said. I want you to get up. I want you to march around the city again, day two. You don't want us to do anything else? No, same thing. Day three, same. They're probably all thinking, well, are we going to try to do something different? Are we going to, like, you know, maybe while we're walking around, maybe start digging a few tunnels under the wall? Or no, just walk, same. Okay, obey God. I don't completely understand it. I'm sure there were some negative, critical people as they're walking around. They're talking to this Joshua, this new leader that we have. He's lost it. I wish Moses was back. Now, Moses, there was a good preacher. Moses was a good leader. All the miracles that took place with Moses, the parting of the Red Sea. Day four, same thing, same thing, same, same. Well, God, you want me to go to the same church with the same pastor year after year, week after week? I heard all of his sermons. Same thing. Day five, same thing. Year five, still going to City Park Church. Pastor Bob is my pastor. Hallelujah. Some of you, it's year 13. Pastor Bob is my pastor, and you still love my sermons. Hallelujah. Amen. Not because I'm the greatest orator in the world, but because God is speaking. Amen. And you're hearing not from me, you're hearing from heaven. And the revelation is coming to you, and you take the revelation, and it's your response that has determined the blessing. I'm going to take the word, and I'm going to do the word. I'm going to apply it to my life. I'm going to apply it to my business. I'm going to apply it to my personal prayer time. I'm going to apply it to my family. And I am determined to see God blessed, to see us blessed. Amen. I am determined to do God's will. Same thing. Day seven. Can you imagine day seven? What are we going to do? Walk around the wall again? Yep, I'm going to do it, but now we're going to do it 7 times. What? Are you kidding me? 7? We're not going to do anything different? 7 times today? Now, Joshua, you know what? It's 92 degrees outside. And you know what? This little church thing you got going on, I think we need to take a liberty offering and we need to get some air conditioning because it's hot out there. We got to do something different because this ain't working, Joshua. And Joshua's like, this is what God told me to do. Do you trust me as your leader? Do you trust me that I hear from God? Do you trust me that God said that that promised land belongs to us? I'm sure Joshua was nervous because this is the first test of his leadership. He's thinking, he's thinking to himself, but he didn't say it out loud. God, this better work. God, this better work. And then God tells him after 7 times walking around, now I want you to shout. And he's thinking, God, this better work. How many know when the walls started to shake and the walls started to come down, Joshua was a happy leader. Joshua was a happy leader. And the people were like, yes, Joshua was right. He's the man. He heard from God. I'm going to stick with him. We're going to go into Ai. We're going to go into all these other cities, and we are going to romp. We are going to conquer. Amen. Before they went in and actually completely took over the promised land, it took another 40 years, folks. They just didn't go in. Jericho, Ai, it was all over. It took another 40 years before they cleared out the promised land, before they completely and totally owned it without any enemies in the land. 40 years. You can get tired fighting a battle after 40 years. But for 40 years, they finally could live in peace and take their place that God had promised them. They embraced the process. They didn't give up. Hallelujah. The same. If you don't do what's monotonous on that day, you won't be in position to experience the miraculous. If you don't invest into your kids when it doesn't seem like it's sinking in, you will never experience that moment when they come up to you and say, you were right. Aren't you just waiting for that day? Hallelujah. I think people give up too quickly. You join the gym and 2 weeks later, you don't see any muscles. And you get your refund back. You want a refund. Consistency works. Some things just take a lifetime. I am the vine and you are the branch. Jesus can't be your weekend activity. He must be your daily priority. How many here have ever played sports before? High school sports, college sports, raise your hand. You know, when you're involved in sports, when you start in a sport, hopefully you have a good coach that's able to teach you the correct way of doing the sport so that from there, from a good solid foundation, you're able to increase and get better. Some technical sports like golfing, for example. Golf can be, anybody play golf out there? Golfing can be pretty technical. And if you don't have the right stance and you don't have the right follow through, you can get all kinds of weird habits going on that it'll be very difficult to break out of it. And you'll go on that golf course, and because you don't have a good foundation, you will not play golf for very long. You will be a frustrated golfer. Most of us all are frustrated golfers anyway. We just kind of just play just for whatever. I've limited myself now to the par 3 at Edgefield. You know, that's probably my speed, you know, because I'm not a good driver of the ball. But I used to be a ski instructor in college. And there's certain things that if you don't learn that first day, as far as skiing is concerned, and the biggest thing is balance, and the second biggest thing is you steer with your feet, not your hips. Your feet were put in those plastic boots for a reason. And if you're balanced, you're able to steer those feet and go to the right or to the left. So if you try to move your body to steer your skis You'll never be able to ski with your friends in those diamond slopes and those steep slopes because you don't understand balance and you haven't been taught correctly. And as a ski instructor, I'll ride up the lift and I can tell exactly who's been taught correctly and who isn't. The one who's been taught correctly and been skiing for years, they flow down the slopes effortlessly. And the other guy next to him, who's their friend, has probably never had lessons, probably forced to the top by their friends. And they're skiing down the slope like, you know, they're trying to do this and they're falling all the time. And I'm thinking to myself, if someone had just taken the time or if they had taken the time to take a lesson to get a foundation down, they would be so much further ahead in their sport. Take tennis, for example. Anybody play tennis out there? It's the same thing. Following through. Correct stance. Balance. Hallelujah. Repeating the same things over and over again and getting in a routine is not a bad thing when it comes to Christianity. Daily Bible readings. Daily prayer. I'm talking about myself this morning and I'm almost done and we'll get you out of here. You take losing weight, for example, right? How many of us, instead of having some goals in order to change our eating and lifestyle, we lose weight pertaining to what's coming up next? Summer's here. Got to put on my bathing suit, right? Going on a Caribbean cruise. Going to the Greek islands, sailing, so I should probably lose weight. Going home to see my mom and dad and visit my relatives. Anybody out there? And so you got these stupid goals, but what happens after the event? Go right back to where you were. My life is like up and down, weight up and down, but, you know, trying to stabilize myself, you know. So instead of going to the gym and setting a goal, I'm going on vacation, going on a cruise with my wife, and I'm going to be skinny and buff and in shape in September. Instead of setting that goal and going to the gym doing it that way, why not just set goals and say to yourself, this year, I'm going to go to the gym 150 times. I think that's a good goal. I'm going to be consistent no matter what. No matter what. No matter how I feel. No matter what it looks like. No matter what the weather is outside. This body is going to go through those doors into that gym. And I am going to work out no matter what. You guys out there? It's the same way with your spiritual life. You've got to be determined that this body is going to go through those doors and I'm going to go into that church where God himself planted me in that house. And I am going to go week after week after week, whether I feel like it or not. I am going to worship God whether I feel like it or not. I am going to look like I'm listening even though I'm falling asleep. I'm going to, whether I feel like it or not, I am going to that church where God planted me in. Amen. And I'm not just going to be a pew warmer. I'm going to serve. Amen. I want to do some things. I want to be a giver. Why? Because I want to grow personally in my faith, but I'm doing it because I know that I'm an example to my girls. I'm an example to my boy. Amen. That my consistency does more than my words to my children and to my children's children. That's the legacy. That's the legacy. Are you guys out there? And we all want to leave a legacy. What do you want to be remembered by? How do you want to be remembered? You know, we celebrate. Ben, you can come on up. We celebrate faithfulness. Even as a culture and a society and as a church, we celebrate faithfulness. If I asked who was married the longest here and you stood up and said, you know, we've been married for 43 years, what would we all do? We'd all be like, whoa. Because in our culture, 43 years is a long time. Amen? And I'm not putting you down if you've had a divorce. But I want to encourage you to be faithful to the one that you got now. Amen? Determine that this is my last marriage. And this is going to be my best marriage. And I'm going to get some years behind me. Amen? Can't wait for year 10. We've been married for 23 years. I can't wait for 25. We're going on a cruise again. All right? I'll have the GoFundMe account up soon, all right? But you know what? My brother, Ricky, he's younger than me. They just celebrated their 25th. You know? Don and Carol, last year, 25. 26 this year, right? Last year was 25. Don and Jan, how many years? What? 46. Okay. That's my point. That's my point. So you think to yourself, I got some tweaking to do in my life. I got some thinking to do. Let me tell you, if the devil is tempting you to take off or to split up, I just want to encourage you to stick with it. Amen? Stick through the tough times. And recognize that your actions have so much to say to the next generation. And one thing that God is going to celebrate us for, He's not going to celebrate us because we're creative and because we can sing real good and we can dance and worship and because we can build buildings and do all those things. He's going to celebrate us because we're faithful. Faithful. Stay faithful. Get faithful. You made it. Faithful couples produce faithful kids that have faithful marriages, that have faithful kids, that have faithful marriages, that have faithful kids. Can you say amen? You build that generation. Stay faithful with who you got. Stay faithful, young people, and stay determined that I am not giving myself up until after I say I do. I refuse. I am determined that I am not getting in that bed with you unless you show me the ring and we have a ceremony before God and my family. Can you say amen? Because I want to do it right. I want to set the precedent. I want to change my generation. And your actions will change your generation. Hallelujah. Let me just read a few things here and we'll finish here. And I think lastly, I just want you to stay faithful to the church that God's placed you in. We can't build anything as leaders without dependable, faithful people. When Sibylle or I or any of our leaders think of something that needs to be done, who do you call? You call the person that has proven themselves faithful with the past projects because they've developed a track record of faithfulness. So you ask them, why? Because you don't want to delegate it and then ask them a month later, how's it going? And nothing's going on. You want to pick dependable people. And I don't know about you, but I want to be known as dependable. You can count on me. My word is as good as gold. Whatever I say, I'll follow through with. So therefore, be careful what you say, right? It's so important to be faithful and to prove that to not just friends around us in church, but to prove that to our kids. But the routine is the reward. The routine is the reward. Does it get boring sometimes? Absolutely. You can get bored and look at the flash. But I don't know anybody who gave up on certain things in their life and you look at them now and you think, they may, on the outside, well, look at, I got this new thing. I bought this new boat. I got this new house. I got this new family. But if you ask them really on the inside, they ain't happy. And they live in regret. I just want to say no regrets. Amen? No regrets. Strong families build strong churches, build strong communities. If you guys ever need help, ever need counseling, please call us. We'll be glad to meet with you. there's ever a tough time, please don't stay away. If you ever need advice, please come to us. We won't be controlling. But what we love the most as pastors, and what we see from people as far as respect level, is when you come to us and say, what do you think? That's all. It's like, what do you think? Because in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And a lot of times when our lives are going down the wrong track, we don't want to know anyone's opinion because we just want to do what we want to do. But in the midst of a congregation, there's safety. When you come and say, Pastor Bob, I got this huge decision. Pastor Bob, I want to get married. What do you think? Pastor Bob, I want to start a business. You're in business. You have a business. What do you think? Is it a good investment? See, that to me is just wisdom all around. What do you think? I don't know, I could teach forever, but let's all stand up.